Reverend Jim Grant, our guest speaker, is going to invite you to walk a narrow edge path between being open-minded and cynical. Someone once wrote that just as there are fundamentalists who are conservative, there are also some Unitarian Universalist fundamentalists. Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote, "Don't be afraid to be persuaded by a good argument, but always be afraid to be persuaded by a good persuader." Jim served for many years as a parish minister to several churches in the Northeast. Then he served as interim or consulting minister to 9 congregations in the Pacific Southwest District. He helped our congregation put together our Good Relations and Covenant about 3 years ago. Reverend Grant will speak to us on the authority of an open mind. Please let us welcome Reverend Jim Grant.
Thank you. You're kind. You're kind to have me back. I enjoyed being here once before. Was it 3 years? It seemed hardly possible. Wow. I want to read something to you from Anna Quinlan, former New York Times columnist, author. I'll talk more about her in a little bit. Anna wrote, "When we were in college, one ubiquitous bumper sticker read, 'Question authority.' It was a good piece of advice, but at the time we interpreted it too narrowly. Don't trust the power structure, the politicians, the parents. Today we have a fuller, more satisfying sense of the meaning of those words. We're unlearning so many lessons about how we should live, be, work, feel. We hold our fingers up to the prevailing winds of custom and behavior and think, nope, that's an ill wind. It's not that we question authority. It's that we question who gets to be an authority in the first place. The notion of what it means to be a woman, man, mother, father, even a human being, has changed so much during our lifetimes. For every incarnation, there was a set of shalt nots. And as each became obsolete, we became more skeptical about the commandments. Who says? By what authority? Why this way and not that? One of the useful things about age is realizing that conventional wisdom is often simply inertia with a candy coating of conformity." Well, if you've heard Prairie Home Companion on National Public Radio, and I suppose most of us have, then you're aware that Garrison Keillor loves to make fun of Unitarians. He tells jokes about us all the time. I don't know whether Unitarians or Lutherans get the worst deal on that. Some time ago, he told a story about a man who went into an ice cream parlor, get a cup of ice cream, and asked the clerk, "Well, what flavors do you have today?" And the clerk said, "Well, we have vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry, and we have a new flavor, Unitarian Universalist." So the customer thought, "Well, I've never had Unitarian Universalist ice cream. I'll try that." And the clerk handed him an empty cup. Now, the problem for Garrison Keillor is that he got it wrong. The cup was not empty, it was open. We do not, as Unitarian Universalists, subscribe necessarily to the vanilla, chocolate, strawberry belief statements, which many of us know from our youth. They were creeds sometimes. In many religious groups, one has to believe certain dogma in order to be accepted. Unitarian Universalists encourage an open-minded approach to the search for truth and meaning. Our cup is not empty, it's open. So I'm asking you to think with me now, a couple of minutes, well, more than that, about two topics, authority and being open-minded. And it seems at first that those are diametrically opposed. Can there be authority with an open mind? Many you use, perhaps not in this congregation, but many you use have problems with authority. One of the reasons is that that word conjures up visions of dictators and tyrants, and for some of us, intolerant conservative ministers who try to push religion down our throats. Each of those, dictator, tyrant, conservative minister, gives the notion of authority a bad name. As I understand some Tea Party activists, they're so dead set against any authority that they have become anarchists, it seems to me. I will graze my cattle on public land and not pay for the privilege. That horrendous incident in Las Vegas last week caused when a young couple decided to be against any authority at all and killed two innocent policemen. But authority does not have to mean dictator or tyrant. Authority sometimes can be very helpful. Most of us trust the authority of our medical doctor. We trust the doctor's authority to diagnose our illness. Generally speaking, we trust scientific authority based on scientific method and inquiry. I have some questions personally about closed-minded scientism, which is not science, but that's a sermon for another day. You can invite me back. The point is now is to consider how we can be open-minded with authority. You may have heard that old axiom, minds are like parachutes. They function best when open. There's a shop near where we live which has T-shirts with all kinds of slogans on them, and one of them said, "Don't be so open-minded that your brain falls out." G.K. Chesterton, a great theologian of another century in England, wrote somewhere that the object of an open mind is the same as opening the mouth, to shut it down on something solid. That is open-minded authority. So I read a reading from Anna Quinlan, former New York Times columnist, author of a book about aging. She called it Lots of Candles, Plenty of Cake. And she encourages people to ask why, even as they grow older. Did you hear that last sentence? One of the useful things about age is realizing that conventional wisdom is often simply inertia with a candy coating of conformity. Open-minded authority is not conformity to so-called conventional wisdom. Now, what I'm talking about should not sound strange to a Unitarian Universalist. We encourage one another in a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We encourage one another to fill our empty cup with meaningful religious truth as we have found it. But the problem comes sometimes when open-minded search leads to skepticism and cynicism from the solid ground of questioning to the swamp of vacillation. In one of his essays, Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of our Unitarian Universalist saints, said something about people who question. The skeptic, he said, has to become very careful that doubt and belief does not eventually cause one not to accept anything that's truthful and real. So the authority of an open mind seeks for balance. Balance between skeptical thinking and doubting and open-minded search for truth and meaning. But sometimes our search can be waylaid by so-called experts who are great with secondhand information, even sometimes ministers. Mark Twain warned us about ministers who supposedly, quote, always secondhand truth. The truth of warning is found in today's reading, the sentence from Oliver Wendell Holmes, which Thomas read for you. Don't be afraid to be persuaded by a good argument, but always be afraid to be persuaded by a good persuader. Einstein is reported to have said that secondhand authority is the greatest enemy of truth. I'll digress, by the way, and talk about Einstein and his understanding of religion. Einstein had an open cup understanding of religious faith. He talked about mystery. When someone asked him if he was an atheist, here's how he replied. "You may call me an agnostic, but I do not share the crusading spirit of the professional atheist whose fervor is mostly due to a painful liberation from the fetters of religious indoctrination." I'm sure we've all encountered people, maybe some of us in this room, who've been wounded by authoritarian indoctrination of religion when we were young. Maybe some of us have felt that injury. The truth, unfortunately, is that the pendulum often swings the other way to a repudiation of anything that even smells like religion. I'm really interested in how many people can be all bent out of shape by the word God, as though there were only one meaning to that term. That's a second sermon for another day. It's another time to invite me back. We Unitarian Universalists, whether wounded by our overactive authoritarian religion of our youth, want to be clear. We want to experience an open-minded approach to our open cup. But be careful that you don't end up with something too negative, flavors which are not at all Unitarian Universalism. Maybe this is a good time for another Garrison Keillor joke. He asked, "Do you know why Unitarians cross the road?" Answer, "To support the chicken in its search for truth and meaning." Some of us are old enough to remember that Christmas film. Remember it? Well, I'm older other than Al. I'm older than everybody else here. So, some of us are older enough to remember the Christmas film Miracle on 34th Street. Garrison Keillor says Unitarians call it Coincidence on 34th Street. The authority of an open mind will lead us toward that Unitarian Universalist principle of a responsible, free and responsible search for truth and meaning. The key word is responsible. If we're not careful, our attempt to be different from others as we search for truth may turn us into professional cynics. Of course we want to question conventional wisdom, but we want to do so with care. Too often we Unitarian Universalists can say more about what we do not believe than what we find true. A few years ago, someone suggested in New You World, the magazine, that everyone should have prepared an elevator speech. That would be a very short few sentences to say what it is about Unitarian Universalists we believe, which you could say in an elevator from the time it leaves the ground floor and goes to an upper floor. But sometimes our elevator speeches become nothing more than denunciation of vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. We never mention what we have found in Unitarian Universalism, which is enriching and helpful. Sometimes we are so reacting against a heavy-handed authoritarian indoctrination of religion in our youth. I know a man in the UU congregation who was reared in a very conservative Christian church. He simply is unable to talk about his faith without talking about his negative experiences of years gone by, 50-some years now. His youthful religion really was bad. But now what? How long will he wallow in the bad old days without moving forward? We just have to be very careful as Unitarian Universalists that we do not live our lives in the contrary tense, negative mood. The authority of an open mind is open, not closed by reactive negativity. Sometimes we may find ourselves not being very gracious to neighbors or friends, maybe even family members who have found their truth and meaning in conservative Christianity. I've had a personal experience of this. Some of you may know that I grew up in a Baptist church. Now, don't get excited. There are varieties of kinds of Baptists. If you go to the website this afternoon of my home church, First Baptist Church of Asheville, North Carolina, the first sentence of that website says, "Our middle name, Baptist, causes confusion. We are not that kind of Baptist." And then he goes on to talk about freedom. My home church was an open-minded Baptist church. There are varieties of kinds of Baptists, but guess what? There are varieties of kind of Unitarian Universalists also. And if we are closed-minded, we'll stereotype and generalize about Baptists and Universalists. Several months ago, I was guest speaker at a congregation, and someone asked me to introduce myself. By the way, I get this accent freely. Asheville is a hill town in western North Carolina, so I'm a southern hillbilly. Best I can do. Several months ago, I was guest speaker at a congregation, a youth congregation up near Los Angeles, and I was asked before the sermon to introduce myself briefly, particularly to talk about how I had become a Unitarian Universalist from a background of Baptist. I began by explaining what I just explained, that varieties of types of Baptists, just as there are varieties of types of Unitarian Universalists. And so I used an example of two Unitarian congregations in Boston, Massachusetts. The first is King's Chapel. King's Chapel is considered to be the oldest Unitarian congregation in America, and King's Chapel uses a prayer book. When I said that, somebody in the congregation there yelled out, "No way!" Well, yes way. King's Chapel, founded 1785 as a Unitarian congregation, uses a prayer book, and sometimes has Christian practices, such as the service of communion. And by the way, the same is true of congregations, UU congregations in Europe. Betty and I worshiped for the Unitarian congregation in Budapest not long ago. Well, several years ago now. My, time flies. Several years ago, and they had a christening for a baby. Unitarians are different. Well, anyway, back to Boston. If you walk out of the front door of King's Chapel and go southwest, diagonally across Boston Common, diagonally across the public garden, you'll come to Arlington Street Unitarian Universalist Church, and it is altogether different from King's Chapel. It's different in worship. It's different in practice. UUs are different. Every congregation is different. Baptists are different. I know Baptist congregations which condemn homosexuality. I also know Baptist congregations which have openly gay or lesbian ministers. All I'm saying is the authority of an open mind will not allow the easy answers of stereotyping and authoritarian generalizations. There are some Christians who are not fundamentalists. Now, there are some conservatives who go all the way across the spectrum. There are some Christian congregations which are closed-minded about homosexuality and the acceptance of people who are different. I know other Christian congregations which help support marriage equality for gays and lesbians. My concern just now is the danger of two kinds of fundamentalism. There is, we all know, right-wing fundamentalism. It can be found in some very conservative Christian congregations. However, and this is a warning for we Unitarian Universalists, there are also on occasion left-wing fundamentalists in many Unitarian Universalist churches. These are the people who, because of indoctrination of religion in their youth, these are the people who, because they were wounded sometimes by their religion in their youth, simply cannot deal. They are closed-minded with words like God or Jesus. And they're ready to throw the Bible out completely because they say it's just a bunch of ancient stuff that has no meaning at all. The point just now is that the authority of an open mind in matters of religious faith will be very careful about accepting conventional wisdom. The authority of an open mind will be very cautious about accepting the opinion of someone who claims to be an expert. The authority of an open mind will look carefully so that doubt does not lead to despair, so that skepticism does not become cynicism. The authority of an open mind will be very careful not to go into negativity. more than anything else, it seems to me that the authority of an open mind will be ready to accept that marvelous first source of the living tradition. You can find it near the front of the hymn book. Here's what it says. Direct, personal, direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces that create and uphold life. Now, if the possibility of an open-minded, direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder makes us uncomfortable, then it's time to remember that oldest axiom. Right on the other side of our discomfort is your next best idea. May it be so. Thank you for listening. Amen, shalom, and blessed be. I don't necessarily promise to answer the questions, but I will respond.
Well, I like your message. When people clap for you, some of the people like to clap for sermons. Other people think the sermons are so good that they should be not clapped because that's a more reverent way of dealing with it. That's the way I look at it, at least. But I'm not always right. But I'd like to hear your elevator speech.
I'm a Unitarian Universalist because I have found here freedom to be who I want to be and freedom to be with other human beings in a search for truth and meaning. I don't have all the answers. I'm in process, but I'm working on it. That was not a planted question, I should say, by the way. Anybody else? Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what this is like, but sometimes it seems to me that we are so respectful of each other's opinions that we're bashful to express our own to the extent that we don't share as much as we should about our own spiritual insights. What can we do about this?
Well, a couple of things to say. First off, it seems to me that we are not called to win the argument. We're called to share understanding. And that's all we can do. If you go in to win the argument, you're already behind. The second thing to say is that we Unitarian Universalists have, just as the pendulum is swung about theological understandings, it's also swung about evangelism. There's that word. Watch out. It'll get you. We think evangelism is bad because we think about overpowering evangelists. There's nothing at all wrong with sharing what you believe. But just don't share it with twisting from one's arm. Share your insights. Be glad to do it. And if they don't agree, they don't agree. But the key for me is, it's interesting to me about Unitarian Universalists. If somebody moves into the neighborhood brand new, we'll tell them where the best hardware store is. We'll tell them where the best grocery store is. We'll tell them where to find a pharmacy. We'll tell them where to find whatever. But we don't tell them where to go to church. We don't even tell them where we go to church. There's nothing wrong with saying, I go to a really fine congregation. We'd have to like to have you come with me sometime. You know, it's friendly. If they say no, then no. Good. That's the second sermon for today. Do I get paid double?
I spent time yesterday in a park with members of the Bernie community, which are the people that get together and do fire juggling and spin fire staffs and so forth in the park. I met them. What was interesting to me was two of the guys that are now totally involved in this movement. One said I was living in Beaumont, Texas. I was a clerk analyst at a bank, and I was going with my parents had me in a conservative church, and I just said, these people are mean, bitter, and angry, and I'm going to go look for another path. So out he goes. Another guy said, last time I was in Mexico, I was on my Mormon mission trip, and I was wearing rainbow pants, and he's off in the park. So there's some spiritual ecstasy these people are looking for outside of the container of that religion. And I myself, they've been very wounded by the image of kind of an angry, bitter, they said angry, bitter religious people. And yet I've also seen and been and somewhat wounded, the way you say, by angry, bitter expression in Unitarian Universalist people. I just have a stereotype of an angry, bitter old man denouncing all religion or upholding all religion. It's just two sides of the same coin. So how can we get away from the anger and bitterness and still be institutional and have enough authority that you that you're not just totally thrown to the winds? That's my question.
A similar question to what was asked back here. See, to me, you share your understanding without being angry or bitter about it. Let me just... You got a hymn book handy? Turn to hymn number one. Now, having turned to hymn number one, go back toward the front of the hymn book, one page. On the left-hand side, you see at the top, we, the member congregation of the Unitarian Universalist, covenant to affirm and promote, and there are our principles. Now, where did those principles come from? Below, the living tradition we share comes from the sources, and there are the listed the sources. What is our Unitarian Universalist faith? Where does it come from? What is a source? Where does a river come from? It comes from meltwater from the glaciers. It comes from springs which trickle out the side of the hills. It comes from little brooks, and they all roll together in their confluence to become a river. The river of Unitarian Universalism has all of those sources. So when you're sharing your understanding, you can even say, we have found some truth from Jewish and Christian teachings. We found some truth from the words and deeds of prophetic women and men. We found some truth from humanist teachings. We found some truth from spirit, earth-centered spirituality. You don't have to be locked into the conventional. You can say whatever, wherever you found your truth. That's the third sermon today, I declare. Y'all are getting a bargain. Any more? If you don't have any more, then we go to coffee early.
I think I got the gist of what you meant, but I wanted to hear from you what you meant by secondhand truth.
Secondhand truth? Yeah, that's an interesting notion. For Einstein, it was that if you read Walter Isaacson's biography of Einstein, page about 650, 655, 657, he's in there talking about, or Isaacson is reporting him talking about, some people who seem to be unable to reach out for something new because they're locked into, but it's always been this way. Now, if you want a good example of that, it would be Galileo, who had a notion with Copernicus of another kind of order of the universe. But he was dead up against people who said, no, it can't be that way. So secondhand truth usually is people who take the conventional wisdom or who take the wisdom of the ages and think that's the way it's got to be. I'm very interested in the fact, if I heard it right, that the Pope Francis said that a celibate priesthood is not dogma. That we can talk about that. Now, I know that kind of frightened me for some Catholics, but that's a secondhand truth, and he's kind of opening the door to look at some other ways. A secondhand truth is a truth that's always been, that's the way it is. It's like the man once told me, don't confuse me with the facts, my mind is made up.
I really appreciate the deliberate presentation that you gave today, especially when you repeated things that you started off with and you brought back in. But one thing that I didn't understand is at the very end of your sermon, I'd really like to go back and have you go over that last line, because my understanding was that if we don't examine our own concretized ideas, we're not going to get that next new idea. I just wanted you to go through that again, because that was something that I missed. I'd appreciate it if you would do that.
Okay. This will be the last one because I think Jim Garner says he'll put the mic off of me if I don't hush. What I was trying to say is that some of us are kind of leery about direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder. What is transcending mystery and wonder? That's another name for God and for the love of God. But some of us are kind of, if you can't touch it and feel it and measure it, it must not be real. And I'm saying, it's okay. It's okay to have it. And if that makes us uncomfortable, then remember that the other side of our discomfort may be a brand new truth. Maybe our discomfort is the key to finding something new for ourselves. And I think that's a good example of an open mind. Now, I will hush, I promise, but I'll be around later for a little while if you want to fuss or compliment. Thank you very much.